Good afternoon to everyone. Good to be together on God's weekly festival. Good to see you all. The title of this split sermon, The Abundant Life. The Abundant Life. And brethren, let's start by turning to John 10, verse 10. And this is Jesus Christ speaking. We're going to spend a lot of time in today's message in John. John 10, verse 10, this is what Jesus says. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus makes it very clear that he came to bring the abundant life. I want to start by asking a rhetorical question. What is your understanding of the abundant life that Jesus brought? Would you say he brought the abundant life in order for one to have a good family? Well, yes and no. Our father, Abraham, for the most part, had a good family life. On the other hand, his grandson, Jacob/Israel, had a difficult family life, yet both of them received the abundant life and lived it. So we see, while it is desirable to have a good family life, it's not a criteria in order for one to receive the abundant life from Jesus. Did Jesus come to bring prosperity? Well, yes and no. The patriarch Job was the richest man by far in the East during his life. On the other hand, and to the extreme opposite, in the parable that Jesus gave about the rich man and Lazarus, Lazarus was the poorest of the poor, yet he, as well as Job, both lived the abundant life that Jesus brought. So whatever area of the financial totem pole one is on, they can experience the abundant life that Jesus brought. How about good health? Did Jesus come to bring that? Well, yes and no. King David had good health. He was a warrior. He was constantly in battle. He needed good health. Not to mention that he was frequently on the run from adversaries, traveling long distances, fleeing from one city to another, living off the land, hiding in caves. He needed good health for the life he lived, and once again he had it. But on the other hand, the Apostle Paul struggled with good health. Why? Well, he was whipped with rods, beaten with rods many times. He was whipped. He was stoned. He was in fasting often. He was in jail frequently. He was experienced shipwreck 3 times. He also had a thorn in the flesh that caused him to have difficulty with his health. But the Apostle Paul, as well as King David, both experienced and received the abundant life from Jesus. So once again, we see that health is not a barometer in order for one to receive the abundant life from Jesus Christ. Well, what then? What then did Jesus mean precisely when he said, I come to bring the abundant life? What did he mean? Well, he tells us in John 6, verse 63. Turn there with me. John 6, verse 63. A few pages back. John 6, 63, this is what Jesus says. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So Jesus Christ came to bring the abundant life, first and foremost, uppermost, spiritually. It's the spirit, he says, that gives life. It is a one-on-one relationship with the Father and Jesus Christ. It's not dependent upon family, finances, health, or for that matter, any other external factor. It is how one thinks, how one feels, how one speaks, how one acts. Is one growing daily, overcoming, and having a closer relationship with God? Is one reflecting the Father more so as a son or daughter, Jesus Christ, as a brother and sister, wherever one finds oneself in life? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh, Jesus said, profits nothing. What he meant was not that everything of the flesh was wrong or evil. As a matter of fact, some of the abundant life he brings includes the flesh. But what he meant was that the flesh is temporary. It's transient. It's here today, gone tomorrow. That's it. And the older we get, the more we realize how temporary this flesh is. That's it. But the Spirit is life. When one is overcoming and growing and becoming more godly, that individual, that's what the individual is. That's what he's becoming. That's permanent. That's who he is. That's an eternal situation, an eternal outcome. And we'll address that more fully as we move along. That's what he came to bring first and foremost. Now, I only have time in this message to make one point. That's all the time I have. And that point is this. The abundant life that Jesus came to bring is for you. It is for you, me, and his disciples. Not for the world. It's for us today. And he explains that in John 10. Let's go there once again from verse 1 to 30. John 10, verse 1, this is how Jesus starts. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own by name, and leadeth them out. He's talking figuratively here, Jesus says. We are his sheep. And what does he say? He calls us by name. He knows each and every one of your names. And we follow him. Why are we here today? Well, we're here because we're following Jesus Christ. He tells us to worship him on the Sabbath. All right? Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We know his voice. We hear his voice. Or we should. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In effect, and how it applies to us today, what Jesus said here, is if someone tells us to go to their church on a Sunday, it's packed, there's 5,000 individuals, 5,000 members, dynamic sermon. That's a stranger. We won't follow him. That's what he's saying that applies to you and me today. Verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now, Jesus was speaking to a mixed audience. His disciples, scribes, Pharisees, Jews. And they did, the scribes, Pharisees, and Jews did not understand what he said. Why? Because the abundant life was not for them. That's why they didn't understand. And it's the very same situation today. It has been down through the centuries. When the United Church of God, via the Beyond Today TV program, the radio, the internet, magazines, literatures, seminars, Congregation, when we speak God's word, what is the situation with the majority of mankind? They don't understand, because the abundant life that Jesus brought is not for them now. It's for us. That's the point he's making. It's for us. And this is the foundation of this message, because it's going to be two-part. All right, let's continue on. 7, then said Jesus unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Why didn't we hear them? Because they're false Christs. That's why. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it what? More abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We know he gave his life for us. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth them. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. He knows us, and we know him. Well, we should. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So when Jesus was preaching at that time, individual became disciples. He's referring to them as sheep. And that's been the case down through the centuries. Today, we are his sheep, and we will be of one fold. He means one family, that we're in unity, that we're in harmony. You see, that's what he's saying. 17. Now notice what Jesus has to say here in verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. And notice what he further says in verse 18. No man taketh it from me. That's interesting. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. What Jesus is saying here is he had the power to avoid the crucifixion. That's basically what, actually, right before he was crucified, he stated that he could call on the Father, and the Father then would send 12 plus legions to protect them. You know how many legions that is? You know how many people that is? 72,000 people. 72,000 angels, excuse me. He didn't have to go through. What he's saying is that he didn't have to go through the crucifixion, the horrible beating he took. He could have requested for a contingency plan. Could have said, Father, let's see if we can work out a contingency plan, an alternative way of bringing salvation to mankind. That's what he's in effect saying. But we all know that he didn't do that. He went through the most excruciating, painful, humiliating death an individual could experience. Why did he do that? He did that so you and me and all mankind in their due time can have the abundant life. That's why he did it. What love Jesus Christ has for you, for me. He's worthy of honor, adulation, praise, glory, power. He's worthy of all of that and more for all time. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful, great, great God and elder brother. He did all of that so we can experience the abundant life, and hopefully in its ultimate sense, and we'll get to that. That's why he did it. All right, let's continue on. There was a division, 19, therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Can you imagine saying such a thing? Believing and saying, can you imagine that? I'll paraphrase. The Apostle John said, all of the books in the world could not contain the good works that Jesus did. These individuals saw many of those, not only good works, but miracles, the gracious words that came from the lips of Jesus Christ, and they attributed to a devil. How dark can man's mind and heart be? And sad to say, we're experiencing some of that with individuals today. Sad to say, pretty dark, very dark. Verse 21, others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Some few saw, some few did see. And Jesus, and it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. This was the winter time, the Feast of Dedication. It wasn't Tabernacles. It was a Jewish feast. I don't have time to get into the details, but the Jews still observe that feast to this day. They call it Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights. And notice that Jesus respected that feast. Why? Because it was giving glory to God, even though it wasn't ordained. And he does the same with us today in this country when we observe Thanksgiving. If we give honor to God, Jesus respects that and he recognizes it. 23, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. One of the areas where Jesus taught in the temple was Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, Christ was not a surname. That wasn't his surname. Christ is a title. Among the many titles that Jesus had was King, Anointed One, Savior, Messiah. So what they were asking was, if you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. That's what they were saying. And here's how Jesus responded. I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, you are not receiving the abundant life now. My sheep hear my voice. That should be us. And I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, Jesus did say, we just read it, in John 10, verse 28, that he came to bring eternal life. However, that requires a qualifier. Now stay with me on this. It's a little spiritual depth. God endowed every single normal human being, all people, regardless of their IQ, with the ability to obtain knowledge from two sources, only two. Number one, knowledge is obtained by humans from without, what someone speaks verbally. What someone teaches from a book, a chalkboard, a computer. That's the first means by which one receives knowledge. The second is from within. What one observes, what one creates, what one experiences during the course of life. Those are the two ways mankind receives knowledge. Stay with me. One can live the abundant Christian life with those two sources, only those two. Yes, they can. However, to receive eternal life, one must obtain the third source of knowledge. That's from above. Knowledge / the Holy Spirit must be imbued within an individual. Then that individual receives eternal life from Christ. Okay? I think I have time, if I move along, to discuss another, what I consider to be a pertinent aspect of this message. This is a little deeper spiritual sense also. Come with me to, I believe I want to go to John 6, 44, yes, that's where I want to go. John 6, 44. In this particular discussion, what I'm going to discuss now is primarily applicable for those among us that have yet to commit to Jesus Christ and live the abundant life he brings. This is primarily for you, those who have yet to fully commit to Jesus and live the abundant life that he brought. If it's applicable to someone else, that's fine. Okay, John 6, 44. As soon as I get there. John 6, 44. This is what Jesus says. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. That's very plain. One cannot have a relationship with Jesus unless the Father calls him. That's what he's saying. And he reiterates that in John 6, 65. The next page over in my book. John 6, 65. And Jesus said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. That's plain. Can't have a relationship with Jesus unless the Father calls. Right? Now, a principle, a biblical principle, when studying the Bible, it's advisable to research all scriptures on a given subject before we come to a conclusion. I'm going to refer three scriptures that show one can have a relationship with God, and it appears that it's before the Father calls. It does not contradict Jesus. As a matter of fact, it complements him. I'm going to refer to three scriptures that in effect say one can have a relationship with God of and by themselves on their own. Proverbs 8, 17. Proverbs 8, 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now that's pretty plain. God's saying if someone loves me and they seek me early, they'll find him of and by themselves if they choose. Right? Let's go to Matthew 22, verse 37. While you're going there, let me give you a little background. This is the occasion where an attorney, a lawyer, figures, asked Jesus, he referred to Jesus as Master, what's the greatest commandment? And this is what Jesus tells him. Matthew 22, verse 37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and that's what you determine in your life, you certainly have a relationship with God. Do we not? Let's go to one more scripture that really hits the nail on the head in making this point. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is all applies to us, brethren. God wants to give us an expected end. Eternity. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken, and I will listen unto you. And ye shall seek me, notice what's said here, and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. So if one of their own free volition decides to seek, search for God with all of their heart, they'll find him. That's what we just read. Now, how does that agree with what Jesus said about no man can come to me unless the Father calls me? Here's how. You see, the Father can read hearts. Well, so can Jesus. Father reads hearts. There are many that say, oh, I love God and I'm going to obey him. But God knows they're not sincere, so he doesn't call them. But if an individual, with all of their heart, with all of their mind, with all of their being, willing to repent, willing to be baptized, have hands laid on them, desires to have a relationship with God, then God calls that individual to Jesus. You see, he calls them. The point is, an individual has a great deal of involvement in the process. The process is just exactly what Jesus said. The Father calls, brings one to Jesus. But individuals have much involvement if they so choose. It's not a matter of the onus is entirely on the Father. And one can say, well, if the Father doesn't call me, there's nothing I can do about it. Oh, there's much one can do about it. Much, it depends on one's heart, one's attitude. God the Father sees that, then he'll call you to Jesus. You see? Okay, let's wind it down. If there are any questions or input on this message, please see me after services. Once or twice before, on a message I've given, individuals have come to me and we've discussed it. I've learned. It's been helpful to me and I appreciate it. If I'm a few minutes over time, bear with me. I thought that last point was pertinent. One other thing. This message was the foundation that you and me are receiving the abundant life. The second message that we discuss on this subject, perhaps we'll call it the abundant life part two. We need to learn what Jesus teaches us with regards to character qualities that we need to exhibit and need to develop and exhibit. They're important character qualities. Jesus teaches us those qualities and we'll learn them on the next message. All right, final scripture. I think I want to go to Matthew. We're going to get out of John. Let's go to Matthew 11, verse 29. Matthew 11, verse 29. Final scripture. This is what Jesus says to you and me. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Imagine, consider, Jesus, God, who has all of the power in the universe, says, take my yoke upon you, for I'm lowly, I'm meek. That's how he interacts with you and me. Tender, kind, patient, forgiving, empathetic. He wants us to take his yoke upon us. What he means is with your own personality, with your own aptitude, with your own interest, you develop the quality of Jesus. Kind, caring, loving, sensitive, forgiving. That's what he's saying when he says, take my yoke upon you. Because, brethren, that is the only way we will live the abundant life that he brings. We will not do it on our own. That's why he's saying to you and me, take my yoke upon you. So we're gentle, kind, forgiving, empathetic, caring, just like he is. That's the way he treats us. That's the way we want to treat others. Is it not? Sure it is. That's the only way we're going to live this abundant life. The only way. Okay, that's it. I'm glad to have shared this message with you. I hope it's helped. And I look forward to sharing the next message with you on this subject. Have a wonderful remaining Sabbath.